Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmuduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. My respected elders and my young ones, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent us into this world, and Allah ta'ala has given us life to live in this world. The life that Allah ta'ala has given us, there is absolutely no guarantee for how long any one of us are going to live in this world. We witnessed sometimes a newborn baby has come into this world, and that baby leaves this world for whatever reason. And then we've seen people that live in this world and they go on living 80, 90 years. There's no guarantee of life whatsoever. In the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a group of people to Yemen from Medina Munawwara, and they had went via a certain route, and they came to a particular place, and at that particular place it was an oasis, and over there was some function, some wedding that was taking place. There was a young lady that was playing some musical instruments, and she was singing some songs. And in that song, she was one of the stanzas, she was saying, Ya ma'ashar al-hussad, mutu kabida, wa nakunu ma baqayna abada. She was referring to people that was looking at this function, and she was saying to them that, oh jealous people, oh envious people, now you see we are having this function and we are all very, very happy. But you people can die because of your own jealousy, your own grief. It happens sometimes to the bigger boys. Our father leaves the car key with us, and then sometimes we start the car and we rev it, and now we want to make everybody else jealous because we have the car keys, it's a nice BM. My friend cannot drive that kind of car. Sometimes I have a smartphone in my hand, but my friend cannot afford that kind of phone that I have, or sometimes it is a tacky that I have. And all of that brings great joy to us, and how we say it wants to make somebody else nar. But this is not what life is all about. And then the next part is she's saying that we are going to live forever and ever. Now this is something that all of us must try to understand, that we in this world and nobody is going to live forever and nothing is going to remain forever and ever. So this group of people went past, and then after a few years the delegation goes past again. And when they come to the same place, the first time when they had gone past, there were lots of castles, lots of huge houses, there were lots of livestock, and there was a lot of farming around. And now when they came, everything was ruined. There was no buildings, the buildings were all destroyed. And now they began to wonder, what has happened to all of this? It was about 30 years later. And they began to take a walk into this area, and they found an old lady sitting. And they asked this old lady about that incident 30 years ago. What had happened? We were here, there was this wedding. And the old lady began to recall. And she says, I recollect and I recall, it was the wedding of my sister, and I was the one that was singing this poetry. And now everybody had died and everybody is gone. I am one person living alone. There is nobody to see to me. I'm all alone. So what happened to those words that she thought that she and everybody else is going to live forever and ever? Now this is, in actual fact, the reality of our lives. That we are here today. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'fin thumma ja'ala min ba'di du'fin quwwa ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. Some of you are little. So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala created us from weakness. A little child came into this world, 1 day old, 2 days old, weak, and then that child grows, Allah Ta'ala gives it strength, and then some of us come to what we will call the teenage years, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, like how the sun rises from the east, and then it comes to Zawal. When the sun rises, everybody can look into the sun, and we can say how wonderful the sun is. But when the sun comes to the zenith, when it comes to Zawal, nobody dare look at the sun because it becomes so strong, so intense. And that is the life of a human being, that we come to that age of our lives that sometimes even our fathers cannot tell us anything. That if they have to say something, see bhai, read your namaz, they made a very big mistake because we'll just say, don't even talk to us. But then we also forget that how the sun has risen and how the sun had gone to its zawal. The sun also has to set, and you and I also have to set one day, and we are also going to become weak one day, and we will also have children, and that life carries on, and that is how the cycle of life goes on. That is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all have to leave this world, and we have to go into the akhirat. Maut is going to come to all of us, and we all have to understand and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this life. Allah has sent us into this world. Allah Ta'ala has given us this life. For what has Allah Ta'ala given us this life? وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala has sent us so that we can make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, so that we can worship Allah Ta'ala, we can become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us so that we can be successful in the hereafter. When maut comes, it is not the end of life. In actual fact, it is the beginning of another life. It is the beginning of the hereafter. And then life carries on. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a person and all and each and every human being. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. That on the day of Qiyamah, when a person sees this whole scene, that each and every one of us are all going to be in a state of unclothedness, we won't be able to even own one piece of thread. We won't even have a shirt, leave alone our night tackies, leave alone the beautiful t-shirts that we have. There will be absolutely nothing. Nothing at all in our ownership. We will all stand over there in front of Allah Ta'ala, bare-bodied. And then the sun, just 1 mile on top of us. And then we will all begin to perspire. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, situation will be, that some of us, the perspiration will be up to our ankles. Others, the perspiration coming up to our knees. Others, the perspiration coming up to our hips. Some of us, right up to our chin. And then it will be like the rain of an animal, of a horse, going right up like this. And each one of us will be concerned, because now we have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, there will be 7 people. There will be 7 people that will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And besides the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no shade besides the shade. So on that day, when man stands, Allah ta'ala is saying, he will begin to reflect on the life of this world. That there was a time we were little children. Then we went to preschool and nursery school and kindergarten. And then it was from grade 1 to grade 12. And then it was university, or it was Darul Uloom, or wherever and whatever we did. We earned our degrees and we carried on our life. But it will be like one evening and one morning in front of Qiyamah. That is how insignificant, that is how short the life of this world will be when we have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَوْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا وَبَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. The question will be put to us, how long did you live in this world? In terms of years, the people will answer, leave years, leave, forget weeks, forget months, one day or a portion of a day, when we stand on in front of Allah Ta'ala on that day, and we have to give an account to Allah Ta'ala about how we spent our life in this material world. So there will be those people then who will be fortunate, and you are amongst those people who have the potential of the good fortune to be under that shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I won't go through all, but one is that shabun, a young person, nasha'a fi ibadatillah. A young person, a youngster that grows up in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One is the obedience of Allah ta'ala, and the other is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look through the lives of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that there were many, many young sahaba. And young sahaba who showed us how to be obedient to Allah ta'ala and how to be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at the life of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It comes in the biography of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Despite the fact that his father Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu lived in Medina Munawwara, Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to sleep in Masjid al-Nabawi. We would have heard of the Suffa. We would have heard of that platform in which many sahaba would stay there. And then that became the day and the night. And over there they would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayats of the Quran will be revealed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them. They would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would not even be bothered about where they would get their food from. They were young, they were old. And in that way they would live their lives. One sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was barely mature when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world. But this sahabi would remain with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go. And in this way, they spend their lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning from our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other day we spoke about one sahabi, Sayyidina Rabia ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was also a young sahabi. And this sahabi, he would spend his life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very unique manner. That when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go into his room, this sahabi would sleep outside the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave his house, his room, he would then sense the footstep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would get up. When he would get up, immediately he would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At night, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get up for tahajjud, this sahabi would have the water of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wudu for tahajjud ready. Now water in those days wasn't like take the bottle of water and keep it there or open the tap, but they had to get the water from the well and they would bring it in the leather bag, and in that way he would keep it for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would keep the miswak ready for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, said to the Sahabi, Rabia, just the meaning of the hadith, ask whatever you may, so that I may ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you whatever you desire. Now if somebody tells us, the Nabi of Allah, some pious person tells us, whatever it is you want, what would we ask for? Probably passing the metric with 7 A's, 8 A's. Or what is it that we will ask for? But this Sahabi, Sayyidina Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all I want, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is your companionship in Jannat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, is there anything else? Again he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all I want is your companionship in Jannat. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Rabi'a, besides all the farz salat, engage in an abundance of nafil salat. So one is obedience to Allah Ta'ala, is that we start performing all our farz salat. Those of us who are baligh, our fajr salat, and try our best to come to the masjid and perform our fajr salat, our zuhr salat in school or whatever other facilities we may have, our asr, maghrib, isha salat, try and perform it in the masjid, and together with that, perform our sunnat-e mu'akkada, our witr wajib, our ghair mu'akkada, and our nafil salat, and try and engage in our salat, and engage and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, create this link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, whatever we do, try and make our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, when all of us are there, we all are going to be standing, as I explained earlier, perspiration. We do not know what our situation is going to be. It is going to be the matter of our records, our book of deeds. Our deeds are going to be weighed. We do not know whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant us Jannat or Allah ta'ala is going to decide otherwise. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to intercede for us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have his mercy upon us. And those persons for whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede will be, the first amongst them will be those that followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the way he dressed, the way he made his face, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank water, everything from A to Z, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us a complete way of life. So that is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, if we grow up as young Muslims, youngsters, as teenagers, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we will be under the arsh of Allah ta'ala. The second is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is a person whose heart is latched to the masjid. A person whose heart is latched to the masjid. Allah ta'ala make us from amongst those people. The benefit of the heart being latched to the masjid, and the masjid is, this is the masjid, not the car park, not outside the park, but this is the masjid, to remain in the masjid, and then to remain again in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is here that the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. Allah ta'ala sends down hidayat, It comes on the Baytullah, on the Kaaba, and then from there it is distributed to the masajid. So if we are sitting in the houses of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's hidayat begins to come to us. And when Allah Ta'ala's hidayat comes to us, then Allah Ta'ala's protection also comes. And then we become aware of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala also safeguards us from a lot of difficulties out there. It comes in the kitabs of history, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had amongst the people around him, there were very many young people that was used to be in the company of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was amongst them one young boy that would spend a great deal of time with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the masjid. This one particular young boy, Ibn Asakir narrates this narration, would spend time with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he would spend time in the masjid till late. And then, when he would go home, sometimes there would be a woman that would invite him and entice him towards her. But more often than not, this youngster would overcome that invitation, turn away, turn his attention away, and he would go home. On one particular occasion, he was overcome, and he accepted her invitation, and he began to follow her. As he began to follow her, the barakah of the masjid, the companionship of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, having knowledge of the Quran Sharif, one ayat of the Quran began to come into his heart, into his mind. It began to echo into his ears. Inna alladhina attaqaw idha massahum ta'ifum minash shaitani tadhakkaru fa'idha hum mubsirun. Allah Ta'ala is saying, those people who have taqwa, those people who have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, when the whisper of shaitan begins its onslaught on them, then they begin to understand and they begin to realize. And it comes in that narration that this person fell unconscious. Nonetheless, his father begins to look for him. His father finds him in an unconscious state, takes him home, and in that condition he passes away. That night, they made his janaza namaz, and they buried him in Jannatul Baqi. The next morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears about the incident, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the father and asks the father to take him to the qabr. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is ushered, he is taken to the qabr. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands at the qabr after listening to this incident, that here was a person that was called to haram, and because of his fear of haram, he fell unconscious. Just the thought of carrying out haram, he fell unconscious, he couldn't bear haram, and he passed away in that state. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reads the ayat of the Quran in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For that person who fears standing in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, for such a person is two jannats. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who reads this ayat, and those around hear the sound from the qabr, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you are reciting the ayat, I am experiencing all of this, Allah has granted it to me. So, when we learn to remain in the masjid, and we make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we spend our time in the ibadat of Allah, fulfilling the commandments of Allah ta'ala, trying to carry out our life in the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah, thumma inshallah, we will find that we become attached to Allah Ta'ala. We all have aspirations, goals in life. We all have ambitions. Together with all our ambitions, what I want to become when I grow old, after my matric, whatever I want to pursue, my young brothers and friends, together with that, let me have another aspiration side by side. That I want to be an obedient slave and servant of Allah Ta'ala. I want to be a Jannati. I want to be successful not only in the exams of this world, but I want to be successful tomorrow when I'm in my qabr and I'm asked, Mar Rabbuk, Ma Dinuk, Ma Taqulu Fi Hadha Rajul. When I'm asked the questions on the day of Qiyamah, I want to be successful then also. I want to be successful when Allah Ta'ala gives me my book of deeds, it is in my right hand. Have all those aspirations also. So I want to be a righteous Muslim. I want to be a mu'min. I want to be a true believer. And I want to leave this world with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is that going to come into my life, into your life? Of course, we have to make an effort. And a very simple effort is this, that we try and participate in the work of tabligh and da'wat ilallah, that alhamdulillah the school holidays are going to be coming. Let us try and give some time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us try at home to make talim of the kitab reading, just a few minutes, read from the lives of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see how that change comes, and then how we find that we become more and more aware of Allah Ta'ala, and we become closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that creates the whole change of our mindsets, inshallah. All of us are going to do that, inshallah.